Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to Unraveling. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you today. Unraveling is a sacred space for you to come to when you feel the need to be nurtured, to be inspired, and witnessed in all the beautiful messiness of life. This is a place for honest conversations, real life emotions, and truth telling. The episodes are intended to be soothing and gentle, yet powerful and impactful, weaving the beautiful art of storytelling together with life lessons, practical tools, and a little bit of magic too. The journey of unraveling has many, many layers, and each of us are on our own unique path. My hope is that the words shared today will offer a spark of curiosity and a moment of resonance, as well as supporting you in your own beautiful explorations. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to this episode of Unraveling. Today I'm joined by the beautiful Laura Agar Wilson, who is a business mentor, a course creator, and a designer who helps women create wholehearted businesses that honor who they are and also what they need to thrive. She is passionate about supporting women to show up as their whole selves and build a business that feels aligned and authentic. This conversation is so rich in truth and honesty around motherhood, around business, and I'm really excited to share our conversation with you today. Hello, Laura. It's so nice to have you on Unraveling. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. It's snowing here in the northeast of England. So it's another snow day, but I always quite like that. It feels very hygge. It's a bit 2017 to say that now, isn't it? But yeah, it's very hygge.
I always think of you actually when I think of hygge. I don't know why, I just think that it's I feel like lots of your posts and lots of your imagery always just feel so cozy. I love it.
Oh, it's always been, I think ever since I heard the term when it was like that big trend, and the reason I know that it's 2017 because I was looking at a blog post that I did. It got lots and lots of views that was on hygge, and it just kind of popped up in my head. But yes, it's very cozy, and I do like coziness and all of that.
It's pure like winter vibes, isn't it? And actually, it just it just makes me want to kind of curl up with a hot water bottle and a hot chocolate.
yes.
Oh, well, I am slightly envious of your snow. We've had literally a dusting so far this year, and it's been a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm going to pull us a card to begin our conversation, see what comes up. This is from the Alchemist Oracle, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, lovely.
Let's see if this might spark something for our conversation today. Oh, we have Mentor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a whale?
It is a whale. Yeah. Oh, so it's whales. A beautiful whale on this kind of spiral background in this card. And yeah, the word mentor, which feels very appropriate, I think, in some ways, as that is a big part of what you do is support and mentor and hold space for others.
Yes. I do. I tend to call myself, I suppose, a mentor more than a coach these days a little bit, because I don't do like what the way that I support people isn't purely that kind of coaching style. It is more, it's a little bit more led and a little bit more directed, which I don't think necessarily, especially in business training, is a bad thing, because sometimes I think we're helping people along that journey in a more kind of practical, tangible way than coaching, which is much more reflective. I think that's always a place for coaching, but it's nice that that's come up. And I've got a real thing for whales. I absolutely love whales.
Yeah. And I think actually like knowing the difference is quite useful for people, because it can, I think sometimes I know people come to coaching thinking they're going to get mentoring, or maybe a bit the other way, and actually being able to say, you know, call yourself or find something that really embodies what you're offering, rather than it like just being a name or a label that you don't really understand. I think the word mentor is a really beautiful it's more of that like teaching, that sharing, yes, your wisdom. Yeah. I think that's really beautiful.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely got that kind of vibe to it, hasn't it? And I think it is useful. I think it's definitely useful for the people who we get to support, that they understand that difference as well. Because like you say, I think sometimes what you actually need is coaching, and sometimes what you actually need is mentoring. And sometimes you need a mix, and that's okay. And it's useful to understand, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So would you be able to share a little bit about your journey to becoming the person that you are right now?
Oof, that's a question and a half, isn't it? Blooming egg. Right then, where do I begin? So I suppose I always kind of, whenever I think of something like this, I always kind of start at school. So I kind of think about, and I was quite quiet and shy at school, didn't have a lot of confidence, didn't have very high self-esteem or anything like that at all, really. But I was always quite arty and creative, so I studied at like the A-level kind of level. I did A-level textiles and GNVQ. God, it makes fans so feel so old when I think back to that. And I did art and design, GNVQ, and then I went on to study art and design at uni. And then after doing that, I really wanted to get into arts development. So like the, you know, putting on productions, working at like a local council kind of level, and I volunteered around that for a little while. And then I ended up working in community centres. So I kind of like, my path went into like the charitable kind of community sector, which I really, really enjoyed. It was a challenge at times, but I mean, I worked in some really deprived areas of the Northeast. We've got some of the most deprived areas in the country that I worked in. And like, you really get to see life, like, you know, it's really raw and beautiful, and the people are fantastic. And I really, really enjoyed that work. So I was working in community centres in Newcastle. And that was fabulous. And then I ended up moving into Durham. So I started doing some work with community organisations in Durham. I was even a play officer at one point. I was actually in charge of all of the local council's play initiatives, which I think isn't a nice little thing when I kind of think to what I do now. And there's like and I feel pulled towards like being able to play in business and things as well. So I was a play officer for a little while, and that was good fun. And then I was working at a charity and I'd always kind of struggled with my weight. That was really interlinked with my self-esteem and self-confidence and things like that. And I've been on diets and, you know, the usual stuff that we go through. And this one time, I think I'd been married a few months before, and I'd been at my biggest when I got married. And it was something I felt quite self-conscious about when I got married. And then something kind of clicked, and I ended up losing quite a lot of weight, which was great on the surface, but there was a whole lot of under the surface stuff going on. But anyway, through that process, I started blogging. So I came across blogs, absolutely loved that you could have this kind of creative expression, like have somewhere to share. And at the time, you know, back, I mean, we're talking like 2010, I think, when I started my blog, you know, it was a very, like, it was this kind of like geeky thing that not a lot of people were doing. And it was like these kind of weirdos on the internet, you know, sitting behind the computers on like Blogspot. And so I started blogging, and it was great, and I absolutely loved it. And that just kind of, I just found a real passion, and it just took off from there. And as my kind of like own health journey developed, I developed orthorexia. So if anyone listening isn't aware, it's basically like an unhealthy obsession with exercise and eating. It's like very pure food. And, you know, I had like, I went vegan, I like dabbled with raw food, and there's nothing wrong with those per se. It was just the way that I got into it wasn't healthy at all. And I got to quite a low weight for me. My period stopped. I think this is something that we share in common, haven't we, with dealing with amenorrhea. And that was like a massive wake-up call. And like, me wanted to start a family, but I wasn't menstruating, and I wasn't physically able to do that. And it was just like this whole, like, what am I doing this for? Like, why am I, this whole obsession with being healthy? Like, what, I'm not actually healthy. Like, what am I doing any of this for? And that was a big wake up moment. And I started gaining weight, and, you know, and kind of just sorting myself out, really. And at the time, I decided to train as a health coach as well. So, and it was really, I did that training. It was more like a gift to myself, really, than actually thinking, oh, I want to do this as a business or anything. It was more, yes, that, like, the business sounds great, but actually I want to do this for me and just to help my journey. And that was really useful. So I trained with the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and one of their main, like one of their pillars, I suppose, of the way that they approach things is bio-individuality. And that concept really helped me unpick, like, this kind of attachment that I had with veganism and raw food and all that kind of stuff, and really let that go a little bit. So that was really, really useful. Trained as a health coach, still wasn't menstruating, so I decided to go down a more medicalized route, which again was quite a big thing. So I had like invasive procedures to check everything was working. It was not very pleasant, but, you know, like, part of the journey. I was put on medication to help me ovulate, and then after a few rounds of that and thinking it wasn't actually working, I got pregnant with my little boy. So that was amazing. And then around that time my business was building as well. So I was kind of like, my business was really building up, and I went part-time in my job. I feel like this is taking forever, this story. So
it's so good. I love hearing it.
I hope it's interesting. So my business was really building up. I was starting to take on clients, and I was getting asked to write a recipe book. So there was the publishers of Dorland and Kingsley, I think it is. They approached me to write a recipe book, like co-write it with a couple of other authors in America. So I was doing that, and it was great. And then my little boy came 5 weeks early, which was a bit of a shock to the system because I hadn't planned for that. I just, for some reason in my head, I thought I'm going to have, I don't know why. And this, it's interesting, isn't it, where we pull these things from. I thought because I was quite, you know, a bigger woman, that I would have a massive baby and go overdue. And I really don't know where I got that in my head from. It's really cool. Yeah. But anyway, he came 5 weeks early and he was little. And then after a week, we found out that he had a heart defect. So it was quite a severe one. It needed open heart surgery. So those first few weeks, he had open heart surgery when he was 8 weeks old, were like really, really hard. And obviously, like, you're seeing your baby getting taken into surgery, and it's horrendous. It was horrific. It was a really, obviously, massive low point in my life. And those few weeks are difficult enough when you've got a baby anyway, aren't they? But kind of worrying that whether or not he was going to survive and things like that. And, you know, and I can remember Googling like survival rates for his surgery and things like that in the middle of the night and stuff. And just thinking, like, this is horrendous, like, you know, and having to like tube feed him during the night. So I was breastfeeding and tube feeding. So it was just really, really difficult. But thankfully he had his operation, and from then on, he just got stronger and stronger. So that was amazing. I mean, that was like my start to motherhood, basically. And it's been a roller coaster ride ever since, pretty much. And now I've got a little girl as well. So Finley is now 6 and a half, and I've got a little girl who's 13 months, called Freya. So we had a big gap between the two of them because we needed time to recover.
Yeah.
The first one, and also because for some reason I create children who do not want to sleep. Oh. So that's another part of it as well. So both of them have never been the best sleepers, and then amongst all of that, I've been building my business as consistently as I can and just kind of plugging in there. And what I support people with has changed quite a lot. So I know we've known each other for quite a long time, haven't we, online? So when I first started out, obviously I was doing the health coach and the well-being stuff, and that kind of drifted into, I think people started to come and ask me about, you know, other coaches, like, oh, how have you managed to build your business and things like that. And then also because I've got this design background, I started to design my own website stuff, and then people started asking me for that, and it was just like, oh, actually I quite enjoy doing this, so why not do it and get paid to do it? That makes sense. And it kind of naturally evolved into me doing some business, like supporting people with businesses, and because I really enjoy that work, it just felt like a good natural change. And then it wasn't actually until about this time last year that I made the decision to completely let go of the well-being stuff and to, you know, really go full in with the business stuff, because I think there was a bit of, I'll be honest, there was a little bit of like mindset stuff around that, because I felt like I was selling out, even though I actually found it easier to make money when I was a health coach, which is weird, but I felt like I was selling out a little bit, and I needed to unpick that quite a lot, and that was holding us back until I just need to give myself permission to do basically what the fuck I wanted, because actually it's not up to anyone else.
Yes, I'm so with you on that.
You know what I mean? So it's been, but I really love the work I do now. So the way that I would sum up what I do now is I help women show up wholeheartedly in the businesses so they can honour who they are and what they need to thrive. That's the way that I would, a nice succinct way of saying. And I think because for me, starting a business was about actually creating a lifestyle that I wanted to achieve and to have, and to have the time and space that I needed to thrive. And, you know, I can remember driving to my old job, and I loved working in the charity sector. I can remember driving and thinking, oh my God, I just don't want to do another day of this. I really don't. Like, it's not lighting me up. It's not what I feel that I'm meant to do. And I feel I can do so much more. And that was always the niggling thing. And if I can help as many women, and I think there's also another aspect of this, which is around flexible working and opportunities, to not feel like you have to be so pulled between your family and your career. If I can help other women do that, then that makes me very happy.
I love all of that. And so many points of your journey are very similar to mine.
Yes.
IIN shared that. The orthorexic piece, feel so much resonance with that. And yeah, losing your menstrual cycle, there's lots of bits where I was like, oh yes, like, yeah, I know we've talked about it over the years and things as well, which has been wonderful to be able to share with each other. But yeah, it's really lovely to hear your journey.
Thank you. It feels kind of strange recounting it. I think that's the first time I've shared it, like, in that entire kind of ramble, if you like, for quite a while, certainly since I've had my daughter, I think. So it kind of, and certainly since I made the decision just to go into business mentoring and design stuff. So it's quite nice to see how it's come round. And sometimes I kind of see like the full circleness of it in a little way, because like I said, I used to be a play officer, and there's definitely like that, I finding that playfulness, I think, in what I do is quite important now. And also the fact that I used to, when in my last paid like normal 9-to-5 job, I was a project manager at a charity, and a lot of the work I was doing was supporting social enterprises. So it was actually business support. I just wouldn't have labelled it like that at the time, but I was helping social enterprises set up and put in like massive funding applications and things like that to do really amazing work in the community. And actually, I've even just remembered in those early days, I set up a social enterprise myself.
Ah.
So I was very, very lucky. My manager at my old job was also a Reiki master, and she was setting up her own Reiki business. So I like, at the time, basically, we knew that the organization we were in, the funding was going to come to an end. So, and she was building her Reiki thing, but we set up a social enterprise together called the Feel Good Factory, which she still runs now. But we did like lots of projects in the community as well. So I worked, I went into young people's homes, so where young people have been displaced from their families and things like that, and did healthy cooking with them. We did all sorts of fun things, and that's just come back to us actually that we did that. So we did lots of fun kind of bits in the community, and I do love that, and it's something I probably wouldn't mind getting back to once I've got more, like, I don't have as much constraints around time with kids, if that makes sense.
So something you said when you were talking about, you know, sharing your journey, one thing that stood out with me is this, you said about consistently building your business, like in the time of between having Finley and Freya, and like over that time. Now, something, I'm obviously a little bit earlier in my motherhood journey. Sophia's now 16 months, but I'd love to discuss more about how to find that gentle consistency, how you've managed to find a way of staying consistent, but without completely frazzling yourself or being overwhelmed. And maybe you have experienced those as well, but I'd just love to unpick that a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, there's definitely times when I felt overwhelmed and frazzled, and more times than I would have liked, definitely. And I think it's discovering that balance. And sometimes, you know, the goalposts move a bit, like what we've had with lockdown, and you find yourself back in that place again, and you have to kind of relearn the tools and techniques and just like the strategies that you used to have. But I mean, the biggest thing is childcare. And I know it sounds like a, you know, a no-brainer, but sometimes I think we have to remind ourselves that it's okay. We're meant to raise our children in the village. We're not meant to do it by ourselves. And I think sometimes, especially when we first access childcare, it can come with a bit of guilt. It certainly did for me. And I had to, like, I really had to remind myself, like, say, we're not meant to do this on our own. And especially at the moment with everything that we've got going on with the pandemic, like, that's brought into even more of a focus, really, that it's like, we need help, we need support from lots of different places, not just our partner who needs to be there as well, but like from peer childcare, other members of the family and things like that. And that's really been vital. Like, I couldn't have done what I've done without some like regular childcare. So I think finding, I mean, we've got a local nursery, and like Finley went there for years, that the we know them well, they're like family kind of thing. It's like, and I think just finding that is really, really helpful, and finding that you've got those days. Something I found early on as well is just in terms of the way that my business was set up, was that I can't take on as many one-to-one clients as I think, as you think you're going to be able to take on. And I think this is, to be honest, I think this is a general, whether you've got kids or not, I think this is something a lot of people who train to be coaches find out, that whether it's mentoring or coaching or branch out other conversation, there's like, there's an energetic, obviously, you know, it takes energy to hold space for people. And depending on what it is that you're working with people around, it's going to be a different, like, it's going to be, it can be quite a high level of energy that you're having to put into that. So I think, and also if you are a mum and you have got limited time, that's a whole other thing as well. So I think thinking about how much time you've actually got to work with people in a one-to-one kind of basis, you know, and obviously charging appropriately for that, where you are doing it, but just having that awareness that you might, depending on your energy and you know, how introverted, extroverted and things like that you are, whether or not it takes or gives, like building systems around that. So like for me, I find it easier to do most of my client-y, like people facing stuff in one day in a block, and then having other days to just do like other work, like the marketing or the business development or whatever. And I find that works really, really well for me. Some people might need like just one client a day and then have time to decompress between before they have another one. I think that's really useful just to kind of feel out what that's going to look like for you. But I think generally, that's one of the things I found, that if I have too many clients, that's where I get burnt out and fuzzled, because I don't have time to do the other stuff in the business, which is what keeps it taken over. And then also just all of the energy that you're given to hold these people and support them as well. So that's a big thing, I think.
I think the energy, I think the emotional energy as well, mm-hmm. that's taken up. I think almost that, like the practical things like childcare, mm-hmm. if you can have childcare or support in some way, whatever that may look like. I mean, I definitely have had to surrender a lot to, especially like this time last year, Sophia mm-hmm. was only like 4 months old. And I had started back at work, and then I mm-hmm. actually like part-time, obviously from home, because that was I had built up that business to do that. But I, when lockdown happened and I couldn't have any, like we couldn't have anybody come in, completely let go of anything substantial in my business. I kept mm-hmm. things ticking along, and there was so much loss with that. Like I felt so much grief. I felt mm-hmm. so much anger. I felt frustrated. And I think I stayed in that cycle for a bit longer than I maybe could have done, because there was, you know, the guilt, the shame, the frustration, the irritability, like all of these things, which would have been, which are not very comfortable to experience, but I think motherhood has faced me with them.
I think motherhood's very good. Yeah, getting like the shadow side. And I mean, something to add to those range of emotions for me was comparison. And I mean, like certainly the early days, I mean, you know, I was talking about childcare and stuff there and one-to-one stuff, but actually you're right. I think in the early days, and certainly when I had Freya, to be honest, I probably put myself under more pressure than I needed to be to still show up. And I think this is the tricky thing. I think when we run businesses like ours, there's this kind of like, we're interwoven with them, and it's such a part of who we are. And I know, like, you know, we should be, you know, our business is a separate thing. And something I've been working with recently, I've seen this pop up a few times, but is that our business has its own spirit and its own energy. Mm-hmm. And I find that so, like, this is just such a game, being a really big game changer for me. I'll go back to that tangent in a minute. But yeah, for when Freya was little, and I was a lot of comparison, because I was looking at a lot of my peers and contemporaries who were also in this kind of similar space, who were just seeming to put out, and I don't know if anyone else listening felt this, but at the start of lockdown, it felt like there was just this huge influx of people giving stuff away or doing stuff, and it was almost like this kind of like this formal, like, oh my god, I should be, and it sounds awful, taking advantage, although I don't think that's what anyone was trying to do, but you know, like showing up and this whole thing, and I felt quite a lot of comparison, I think, with other people, and definitely that kind of loss that I wasn't able to be in my business in the way that I wanted to be. But it's that thing, isn't it, it's all these different trade-offs, I think, when you're a mum, and how you get to show up. I mean, I did a lot of stuff with Freya and the sling. I did the same with, I can remember doing the same with Finley, had like one of those stretchy wrap slings, she was napping, I would be sitting doing some work, and it didn't feel like it was draining us. It felt like I just needed that little bit of myself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do that. Yeah. I really realized like how, like going back to that, what you were saying about our businesses being separate. I mean, I don't know if you've, maybe it's come from this Hero Boga. Mm-hmm. She talks a lot about like the soul of your business and and sort of allowing that almost to channel through. And I definitely find that so helpful in terms of connecting to like the essence and seeing it as its own being, but then also knowing that it's part of my soul as well. Like I had to really battle with myself around feeling the guilt and the shame that I wanted to be creating and writing and connecting through my business, because it's so important to me and it is like a part of me. And I really felt very conflicted around that. And the comparison thing, like I would see, and I've had to, I'm quite cautious now. I've really streamlined who I'm like following and sort of surrounding myself with, because I was comparing myself to people on completely different journeys without children, or with older children or with in a different situation to me. And I found that was really harmful, because it was like taking me back to the parts of my old life that I was missing. And then I'd feel shame, and like this whole cycle was just, that was what was energetically exhausting me. It wasn't the actual practical things. It was this constant cycle of effectively like emotional abuse towards myself. because I just didn't, it's just such an adjustment. So I think lockdown just highlighted it massively. It would have happened anyway, I think. And I think it's just maybe a part of being a mother and also being a business owner or an entrepreneur or someone with that ambition. I think it would happen anyway, but lockdown was like, okay, it almost went overnight. It was like,
yes, yeah, yeah. It was such a stark kind of shift, wasn't it, I think. And I think in general, I think when you're a mum and a business owner, it is this kind of pulling and pushing, you know, between these sometimes what appear to be conflictory feelings in ourselves. So like ambition, but wanting, you know, to be the kind of mother that you want to be and be present and all of this stuff. It's like trying to balance all that up is tricky sometimes, and it just takes a bit of, and I don't think it's something I'm ever going to get like 100% right. I don't think anyone ever is. It's always going to be this kind of constantly moving thing. And I read somewhere a book that I think I must have gotten over Christmas, and it was about, instead of seeing things as in balance, it's like tilting. So that we always tilt in, you know, so at one time we're going to have to tilt into, you know, being more present with our kids, and other times we'll be wanting to tilt into our business. And that really helped me kind of think, well, at the moment, like I'm really tilting into motherhood, and that's okay. You know, I've got a very, very small child. I've got another one home homeschool, well, I'm saying homeschooling, I'm doing wear quotes for people who can't see, because we're not really doing a lot of homeschooling, to be perfectly honest. But I've got another homeschooling, and it's like actually letting go of some of the expectations that I have for the way that my business is going to perform is helpful. But again, it comes into the comparison, because then you think, oh, especially as a business coach, sometimes I find like there's this pressure that you have to be doing business perfectly, or you have to be making like crazy amounts of money, and that's not what I'm like, that's not where I am, and that's not necessarily what I'm aiming for either. So I think it's addressing like the, I suppose it's just the, you know, the pressures that we put on ourselves with it all as well.
Yeah, and I think this is like, for me, I'm feeling that like my old patterns, my old beliefs, and the old ways that we've been told, again, I'm doing air quotes, told how to run our business. And particularly there's a huge, still a huge market of business coaches and other coaches that are pushing this hustle mentality, this, you know, like, oh, I've managed to get my like £1 million something, and I've got like 3 newborn babies. I mean, I'm just totally exaggerating, and there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with having a £1 million business at all. But I think it, the way it's marketed and the way that it's promoted is so, it's such a delicate part, but like delicate, and tender spot to be prodding.
Yes.
And I just don't align with it in any shape or form. And I've had to really unravel that for myself. And like, what, how do I want my business to run? I love your approach of the tilting, because if you're thinking about balance and you think, oh, it's imbalanced, then that feels negative. But tilting's like, yeah, okay, like right now I'm a little bit more focused on mothering, and right now, and then, you know, and then it will shift again. And actually like that's a really beautiful way of looking at it, rather than, oh, well, it's just completely imbalanced. I either have to like go all in with my business, or I will go in all in with motherhood. I feel like we're being called to find new ways that we can actually be the mothers, the parents that we really want to be, without sacrificing and being, quote, bad parents, bad mothers. Yes. And it's just, I think we've been shown this way that that it's supposed to be, and now there's a real calling to change that. But we're in this void, and I keep talking about this, like with business particularly, is like we're in this place of, this is the old way, we know that doesn't serve us, there's a new way, but we don't know what it is yet. And like, we're in this space of figuring it out, and that's going to be messy and chaotic.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And something that came to me, I think this was about the end of 2019, so just kind of before I had my little girl, was just this kind of massive realization that the way that society set up is not set up for us to thrive. I guess there's lots of amazing things that have come from modern society, but you know, this kind of like, we're, you know, working loads of hours, you know, the fact that to financially thrive, you have to be, there has to be two earners in the family. Like that didn't used, that wasn't the case until recently. I find that like quite an eye-opening thing, that we're still expected, and certainly women, we'll talk about women really here, aren't we, we're still expected to run the household and do all of the stuff that we would have done in the 1950s, when it was only one of the couple would have been, the man would have been going out to work, but we're still expected to do the same amount of like domestic and emotional labor. And that was a big one for me. And I think like just kind of having that realization that you know, we're not failing, like everything else is failing us, was a really, really big one. And then, and it all just kind of taps into this, well, how do I want this life to look like? And I think when you have a business, you have more opportunity, I suppose, to be in the driving seat of what that ends up looking like for you. And another part of lockdown that I found quite hard was the loss of control a little bit around that, because we're very much instantly, and I think this happened in a few families, almost went back to the 1950s, in that my husband was going out to work and I was at home with the kids, and I was drinking wine at 5 o'clock and, you know, like just desperately to have like a bit of a release. And that was just a whole weird thing to get my head around as well. Mm-hmm. But yes, we're having to figure this out, I think, as we go, aren't we, and figure out what it needs to look like for us as individual families and the ways that we want to show up for our kids. I think another big thing that's helped me is boundaries.
Mm.
And this is something that I know I really struggled with when I had Finley. And I think I must have picked up some stuff there because it hasn't seemed to be quite as much of a struggle. But just boundaries in terms of like when I'm working, when I'm being a mum, because the frustration of trying to do both at the same time, although again, lockdown has really shifted that a little bit, and I'm having to sometimes be working and being the mum at the same time. So that is very, very tricky. But having those boundaries in place has been really helpful, just not trying to be the two things at once, because it's really, really difficult, I think, to be sat there with your laptop and the baby on your knee and trying to do stuff at the same time.
Yeah. I have to remind myself when I get frustrated and irritable, it's always when I step back and look at what I'm actually doing in that moment, it's because I'm trying to answer an email and also be a mom at the same time, or trying to like cook some pasta and tea for her and also trying to like check in on Instagram, or you know, like I know it's like it's because I'm trying to do both, because it's like that condition to maximize every second of every day, like be very, very resourceful with your time and cram in as much as possible. And actually every time I do that, I feel tension in my body. I feel I get angsty and I get irritable, and then I'm more likely to either snap at Will, be less patient and tolerant with Sophia, and then turn on myself. So like then what happens, the cycle is like my reaction is not the pretty perfect reaction, and then I'm having to really work on the self-compassion piece and actually come back to being kind and going, okay, Lauren, you were trying to do too many things. It's not, you don't need to punish yourself. You don't need to beat yourself up about it. You can just learn from it, and you can just say, okay, I may, you know, like I'm learning. This is okay to be learning.
Yes.
I make a mistake, I'm going to make a mistake, but I don't need to then attack myself. Which has been a huge gift of these situations. Not that it's a comfortable gift, but it's definitely helping me with the self-compassion piece. And I think that's probably my biggest lesson in motherhood and running a business, to really be gentle with myself. be realistic, I think. And I always found that word to be a bit like, oh, I don't want to be realistic. I want to be manageable. I want big dreams. And just because I am being realistic in the moment on a practical level doesn't mean I don't have those big dreams. But it's like, okay, what can I do today that is realistic and isn't going to make me feel like I haven't done enough? Because when we put all these expectations on ourselves, it just compounds this belief that we are not enough.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Totally agree with the that's always the thing that I found, is that if I'm trying to like reply to someone on Instagram or something like that and be a mother at the same time, that's when the clashes happen. So I think being aware of that, I think, is so helpful. And just applying that kind of tilting thing even in a single day, like just being aware of like, okay, like I really need to tilt into being a mum right now. And just kind of on the motherhood side of things, what I found is useful as well as this kind of is just having these periods of like really focused connection with the kids. So because again, like we're so busy just doing life and doing business and everything, and just having like, even if it's just 10 minutes, just sat down and just connecting with them for like short periods of time, like it fills up their kind of their connection needs. Because often if you've got like mom, or you know, the crawling up your legs and stuff, it's because they haven't had their connection well filled up enough. So I find sometimes that's really helpful. It's just like, right, okay, we're going to have this big bit of connection, and then like if I do need to go away and do a little bit of work, I'm going to fill that connection well up a little bit before I go and do something else, or before I attempt to do something, or before I stick CBeebies on or something like that, because I need to go and, you know, just quickly do something. That really helps as well. But yeah, it's such a, and it really doesn't help. I think that there is people who portray like having the shit togetherness when it comes to having kids and businesses. And I think one of the most destructive things we can do is compare ourselves to people who are not in the situations that we are in and who have got access to resources that we don't have access to. You know, it's like, you know, most of us wouldn't, you know, try and compare ourselves to someone like Beyonce, because we understand that she's got millions and millions of dollars, personal chefs, you know, help around the house, you know, nannies, etc. But we don't, like, we will happily, you know, compare ourselves to like whoever it is on Instagram who seems to be killing it in the business, without understanding that perhaps they've got like different, a completely different situation going on behind the scenes that we don't understand. So it is helpful, I think, just to remember that we've all got different, completely different situations.
Yes, that is, I think I always come back to that when I do find myself comparing, because it's really easy to fall into that comparison. It's just, I think it's just a natural part of being human. It's like curiosity at first, and then it sort of drops into comparison. But I always like try and unpick it a little bit and see like, okay, what is it that I, like what is it about what they're doing that I want? And actually, is that help? Is that coming from fear? Is that coming from like, actually, this is genuinely something that I really want? Like they're creating this thing and it really excites me. And then in which case, like, is that something I need to prioritize? Like, do I need to change my time around? Do I need to ask for a little extra time? I mean, asking for support has been very challenging for me as a very ultra independent woman who has always has run her own business for a long time and has been like prided herself on being fiercely independent. To ask for support and financially and practically has been a biggie. And probably is a whole nother podcast episode, to be perfectly honest. But I would love to know what kind of practices and like self-care rituals, what do you do? What are you doing at the moment that feels really nourishing, that's supporting you in creating this business, motherhood, balance, tilting, whatever. But yeah, what do you find really soothing and supportive to you at the moment? Any practices you're enjoying?
I think having showers by myself and just lighting a candle is something I do every so often. I've got some nice, my sister got some lovely candles for Christmas, and I just light that, and it just makes it a bit more of a ritual, a bit more sacred, and a bit more, it gives back a little bit more than just kind of very, very quickly jumping in the shower and getting straight back out, and, you know, and all that kind of running around. So that's something just on a really like small level. Doing something outside with the kids. So we had on Friday, we it was just a difficult day. Like the baby was really whingy, like Finley was whingy, and I was just like, right, we're just gonna go outside. And and the answer is almost always just to go outside.
I
think when you've got like when you're in that situation, so that's always something that I fall back on, and because it's good, I feel good when I'm outside as well. In terms of, don't know how much I would call this like a self-care thing, but it's more just if this is how we're coping with kind of like managing with being able to work and with the home school and stuff, is just kind of like this, you know, giving like Finley something that he feels is like his thing to do, so that he feels like some responsibility. So things that he's been helping us out around the house a little bit, and just kind of like doing that stuff, but in a way that also fosters that connection, has been really, really helpful, so that it means that I've got some time to go off and do work later on in the day, and just finding those time slots that are going to work. I've made a real effort as well lately to do more exercise in the morning, because actually when he's not at school, I actually have slightly more like a longer day, if that makes sense. So when he's at school, I've got like 9 till 3, But when he's not, I've got a bit longer because we can drop Frey off at nursery. So we've actually got a longer day. So I'm trying to see all the advantages of that and think, well, actually, we've got a longer day, so I can work out in the morning now. I can do that. I can, you know, and we do that together. He's usually climbing all over us, like when I'm trying to do yoga and things. But that really, really helps. And on an evening, although we are having like issues with the baby sleeping, something I still try and do is listen to a meditation before bed, just with my like headphones on, and that just really helps try to wind down at the end of the day. And I found that that's like something that's really important, because I would be one of these people who sit and scroll on the phones in bed until like 10 o'clock or something and then struggle to get to sleep. I'm a doom scroller. That's a really, really bad habit. And that kind of just like doing the meditation disrupts that habit a little bit.
Well, I love that actually. Filling in, like that's one of the IIN principles, isn't it? Crowding in.
Yes.
Or crowding out, sorry. Yes. Crowding out so that, you know, you add something that's more nourishing and eventually it kind of pushes out the slightly less nourishing habit.
Yes. Yeah. No,
I love that. I still cling. That's probably one of the like one and only things I actually still use from my health coaching days, that approach, because I think it's really useful.
Rather it works than being, in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Rather than being told you can't do something, it's like, okay, well, what could I do that maybe might just push it out? What would be your, so just as we come to an end, what would be, because we've been talking so much about business, what would be like the greatest piece of advice, or the greatest piece of advice you could offer to somebody who is right in the thick of trying to navigate motherhood, ambition, business? Like, what would be the one thing you could, like one little nugget you could, if you could give them a hug and tell them this, what would it be?
Oh, goodness, there's so many things I'd want to say.
You can do a couple if you want.
I think on like the emotional side of things, it's like take the pressure off where there doesn't need to be the pressure. So, and like, unless you've got like a financial pressure, which I appreciate some people do, and I do, as a, like, I'm the main breadwinner, I do have a financial pressure, and that's something that I have found tricky, because I have to show up in my business because I have to make money, because we have to keep the roof over our head. But if you don't have like a financial pressure, like probably most of the pressures that you've got are probably ones that you're putting on yourself. So be aware of what those are, in like from an emotional point of view, that would be a little snippet, I think. And also just a reminder that like this is a phase of life, it's not forever. That's what I always tell myself, is that like there will be a time when schools are reopen and the baby's older and I'll have much more time to focus on the business and stuff, and that's okay, that it's not necessarily happening now. But I think on a practical level, just keeping things simple, and that doesn't mean keeping things simple doesn't mean that you don't have room to play in your business. It just means that you're not going off on like all these rabbit holes, because and generally, certainly when I was doing this, it was more because I thought I should be doing things. So I thought, I should have a podcast. I should be on LinkedIn. I should be, because all these other people are telling me that I should be doing those things. Find something that is going to work for you in terms of a place to show up for your business. And usually that's for like a marketing purposes, really, because that's where I want to be showing up. Find something that works. Keep it simple. And that's going to clear off a lot of the other stuff. And whenever you find yourself getting like the form one, thinking, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, just come back to like, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm focusing on now, you know, because I think often where we get you know, derailed, is that we give up on something too soon because we feel that it's not working, because we haven't given it quite enough time, or that we see that someone else is doing this thing over here and they've made £100,000, so we should definitely be doing that because that person's
shiny
doing it. And yeah, we should definitely do this. And it's not to say you can't play, but I think it's just keeping things simple.
Yes, I love that. And simplicity is something I keep trying to come back to. I still find it very hard because I am such an ideas person.
Well, I was talking about that on Instagram the other day, wasn't it? I mean, I'm definitely, like I said, I'm real ideas and multi-passionate kind of person. I think the difference for me is it's working on one thing at a time a little bit. That's helped. Like my capacity to work on multiple things at once is definitely something that's taken a hit with motherhood.
Yes, I find it so overwhelming now, whereas I used to be able to juggle like 100 plates, and now I can literally one.
Yes.
Any more than one plate and I'm like, oh, I can't, can't cope with this anymore. This has been so fun. Thank you so much for your time.
It has. It's been lovely.
I would love you, just if you are able, just to share where people might be able to find out a bit more about you, connect with you, see all your magic, if they're feeling called to create a lovely website or work on their business, where can they find you?
So yes, so people can find me at wholeheartedlylaura.com, and I'm on Instagram at wholeheartedlylaura, and probably the only other place that I'm really present on is Pinterest, and over there I'm Laura Agar Wilson.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Well, I'll pop all of those links in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for your time. It's been beautiful to unravel with you.
Thank you very much. I feel like we could probably talk all day about different things, couldn't we? But yes,
for now, we'll leave it at that. Maybe there'll be things coming. Maybe there'll be more things coming.
Yes. Oh, thanks very much, Lauren. Thank
you. You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If this has sparked your interest and you want to dive in deeper, head over to laurenbarber.co to access more resources, including blogs, meditations, and previous shows. You can also discover more about sharing sacred space with me in my group, memberships, and one-to-one offerings. I would be so grateful if you can share this episode with anyone who might need to hear the words too. And if you have a moment, it would mean the world to me if you can subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform. If you feel called to connect with me on a more regular basis, then please do join me over on my Instagram account at laurenbarber.co. Until next time, I wish you love and gentleness on this beautiful but sometimes chaotic journey of unraveling.